power's going down, strength is going down, but not as much. Muscle mass is actually not, because remember, that's the order in which you lose things, right? You're going to lose power, strength, and size. So what is it about this window that you and I are just entering now, and why is it so important?
Play with the timing of those and see how, at a given intensity, it impacts your energy levels for the remainder of the day.
It's the work we do now that sets the stage for that. It's the foundational work that we do in this period of our lives. You know, you and I are only a couple years apart, but I think this is the critical decade. It's in your 50s to your 60s and in your 60s to your 70s that I think is the deciding time.
50s to 70s.
50s to 60s. Yeah, 50s to 70s. So what is it about this window that you and I are just entering now, and why is it so important? I think it's important because we're getting to that point where aging does start to show up. Like, I think if you and I are being brutally honest, like we're kind of half the men we used to be. And again, that just means like, look, like a night of poor sleep shows up more, right? When you were working in the lab, as hard as you were describing it, you could probably walk through walls when you were exhausted.
Yeah, a short nap would reset me near completely.
Yeah.
I got more colds and flus in that time because I wasn't taking such good care. But then again, I was indoors more, so it's an imperfect experiment. But you're right. I think that as I've approached 50, I need to do more.
You need to do more self-care. Mm-hmm. You need to be more mindful of what you're eating, how you're sleeping, how you're recovering from those workouts, because we still do hard workouts, but recovery plays a greater role. In other words, we're just not quite as resilient as we used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, they asked me about my residency. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic when I say this. I couldn't do 1 month of what I did for 5 years. I really couldn't do it. I don't think there's no way I could go back to that level of sleep deprivation for a month, let alone 5 years. So, that's just a fact of aging, I think. But what we have to do during this period of time is build up as much physiologic reserve as possible. And so the important thing is we have to stay in the game because compounding makes such a difference, right? So, you know, we're still young enough that we can actually put on muscle mass. Now, that's not always going to be the case. It's going to be very difficult to add muscle mass when you're in your mid to late 70s. It's doable, but it's very, very difficult. So instead, we want to be putting on as much muscle mass as we can and increasing or at least maintaining strength as much as we can. Again, probably increasing it is unlikely. Clearly, we're not increasing power as we age, right? Andy Galpin has talked a lot about this. The atrophy of the type 2 muscle fibers, the 2A muscle fibers, really start to atrophy in your 20s and 30s. So I know I don't have a fraction of the power that I used to have. And I know that because my vertical jump is literally half what it was when I was a teenager.
Mine was never very good, so
It doesn't matter how good it was. My point is, like, if you know what your vertical jump was at 18, 19, 20, and then you do it today, I mean, it's literally 50%, and that's one of the purest tests of power. So power's going down, strength is going down, but not as much. Muscle mass is actually not, because remember, that's the order in which you lose things, right? You're going to lose power, strength, and size of muscle. But again, size still matters. It's still a glucose sink, all these other things. But what we don't want to do is, you know, be out of the game, right? What we don't want to do is injure ourselves and get a setback that becomes very difficult to recover from. Because, you know, when you're our age, if you're inactive for months at a time, it's going to be 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio of inactivity to activity to get it back.
What about energy? Sorry to interrupt, yeah. But since we've been talking about molecules and energetic pathways, what about energy? Just that get up and go. Let's just say after a decent night's sleep, 7.5 hours, waking up same time, more or less, 6:30, 7 a.m. probably for you or me. And why is it that as we get older, we have less energy? Our mutual good friend, the late Ben Barris, used to ask about this. He used to say, he called me Andy. He was like, Andy, why do I have so much less energy? I was like, I don't know. It's a great question. Now, unfortunately, he died of pancreatic cancer. Yeah. So there may have been other things going on, but that was prior to the cancer, at least as far as I know. You know, it's a very interesting question. Why do we have less energy? And I don't think anyone's ever been able to answer that question.
No, and when you have kids, you're going to be even more starkly confronted with that. Because I actually, it's one of the things I am most amazed by when I look at my kids, especially the youngest ones, the boys who are 7 and 10, is what I just describe as spontaneous outbursts of energy. Like their inability to sit still, their kinetic desire to just, like they will, like if we're, I remember once we were kind of walking through a mall and we're walking through the mall, they are sprinting ahead of us, sprinting back, sprinting ahead of us, sprinting back. Like imagine if you and I were walking through the mall and I just started running ahead and running back.
You'd be so sore the next day.
No, but it's like, it just wouldn't occur to me to ever run unless being chased, right? Like it's just, I mean, like we now live a life like I think our ancestors did, which was, you know, if we're not deliberately in the business of moving for a reason, like you're exercising, you're going for a walk for the sake of going for a walk, like you just wouldn't, it wouldn't occur to you go and expend energy for no reason. And yet kids do this. It's amazing. And look, it's going to go down by the time you're a teenager. Like just going from being, you know, sort of 10 to 18, there's probably a significant reduction in spontaneous outbursts of energy, let alone where we are now.
Up until now, we've been talking about all these ways to try and increase NAD in the bloodstream and hopefully in cells. And I don't know, I take my NMN and my NR and I feel a little bit of a boost in energy, but I can't say that it's so significant that I feel like I can sprint back and forth just spontaneously.
Again, it's just so hard for me to imagine that any supplement or any drug, including rapamycin, which I think is the most promising geroprotective drug we have, I just can't imagine that those things even compare to what good sleep, good exercise, and good nutrition do for your energy levels and vitality. And the reality of it is all three of those things are hard to do. You know,
yeah. They
especially do. If you're an adult, like especially if you have a real life, you know, you got kids, you got a job, which is presumably many people listening to us right now. Like, there's very few people listening to us right now whose only purpose in life is to take care of their health. Everybody's got something else they have to do, which means you have competing interests for how do you take care of yourself. So, to sleep is not easy. Right? Like, we all are busy as hell. We don't want to have to stop what we're doing to undergo a nighttime routine, to put ourselves in the right headspace, to be able to sleep, do all the things necessary, give ourselves that 8 hours in bed to hopefully get seven and a half hours of sleep. Even people like me who like exercise, I know you like exercise, it still is a sacrifice in terms of time. And for many people, certainly for me, food is the hardest of these all, right? If left to my own devices, I'd eat freaking Fruit Loops all day. Like, I love Fruit Loops, right?
Interesting. By way of contrast, the food part is easy for me. I like healthy food and—
Oh, I like healthy food. I just like all food.
Okay.
I don't like
unhealthy food. I've weaned myself off. I never really liked it that much. I mean, I like a great tasting slice of pizza or ice cream every once in a while, but I much prefer meat, fish, chicken, eggs, fruits, vegetables, rice, oatmeal. I just like that stuff. Mm. I'm a weirdo that way, I suppose. But on the topic of exercise as it relates to vigor and longevity, I'm intrigued by how some forms of exercise give us more energy, especially the same day, and how some forms of exercise or even timing of exercise tends to deplete us. Because I think one of your major sort of calls to the public has been to move more for sake of their health span and lifespan. But because of the time investment that it takes to work out in a gym or to go for a run or a ruck, I think some people think, well, that's a lot of time. But if it gives you more energy and more focus to do other things, well, then it's great. So it's not just about living longer. It's about being able to do more. And I've noticed, I don't have any science to back this up, but I'd love someone to run a test on this, that if I complete my workout before 9 a.m., even if I have to start it while I'm a little bit fatigued, I have more energy all day long. But that if I initiate that workout, say mid to late morning, I'm pretty tired in the afternoon. It's like I give everything I have to that workout. And so it becomes a little bit defeating since I'm not a professional athlete or even an amateur athlete. I'm working out for health span, lifespan, but I want to do exercise that gives me more life during my waking hours. I think somebody should study this. And I'm convinced that it has something to do with the change in body temperature that occurs across the day and the additional change in body temperature that occurs as a consequence of exercise. That's my hypothesis.
Do you notice a seasonal change in that? Do you experience it more or less in one season or the other?
I haven't thought about it that much, but not so much. Mm. Not so much. And I wonder whether folks like our friend Jocko Willink are able to do so much. He has so much vigor, mm-hmm. that guy, in part because he basically exercises at the just after the lowest temperature phase of the circadian rhythm and uses exercise presumably to drive himself out of that and get that, you know, temperature increase that's the consequence of waking. But in his case, he's waking up so early, 4:30 is when he starts those workouts. So it's something for people to play with. It's something that I don't think gets discussed enough, which is, yes, you should exercise, do resistance training, do cardiovascular training, but play with the timing of those and see how at a given intensity it impacts your energy levels for the remainder of the day. I think it's an important metric that, again, I just don't see a lot of attention to, because I think if people could experience the increase in energy that is the consequence of working out at the right intensity in the right way at the right times for them, they'd be much more apt to do it. It wouldn't feel like this, like spending money on something that sure will make you live longer, but then you're depleted and you can't do cognitive work. There's something pretty impressive about the fact that, as far as I know, the last three, let's just call them, I don't want to call anyone out specifically, major pillars of the high-level administration at Stanford School of Medicine, to my knowledge, were all 5 a.m. runners. There's something about early morning exercise. And my good friend Eddie Chang, who's the chair of neurosurgery at UCSF, he's been on this podcast, known him since we were 7 years old. He's an early morning exerciser, and then he's got tons of energy all day. But
what about the reverse causality there? Do you think it's possible that they have a system of high energy that makes Jocko who he is, or makes, you know, these people who
they are, and as
a result of that, they're able to work out 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I just have noticed that in the few times in my life where I've kicked my own butt to get out and start working out really early, I have more energy all day long. Sometimes I still require a brief nap, but it's a pretty striking effect as compared to, you know, the 10 a.m. workout effect.
Yeah.
So I've started setting a standard of trying to get my workout done before 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's something for people to play with, because the more energy to live in your waking hours, perhaps not longer, but certainly have more energy in terms of output, I think is a significant and undervalued parameter.